Well, hey everyone, we are in a series that I don't think could be better timed. We're looking at this idea of gratitude. So the series is Project Gratitude, and we're really looking at a mindset or a perspective that can really change all the environments that you and I are in, from our internal thinking and how it works its way out. You know, living a life of gratitude is something that God designed you and me to do. It's not just an option. It's not just something nice, but it's something that he built in. I'm going to review some of this from last week and show some more data. This is how he created you and me physiologically, spiritually, socially. It's not a matter of just being people that have the power of positive thinking. There's nothing wrong with being positive. But this idea of gratitude as a mindset, it has side effects to it that allow us to be able to attack problems with faith. So when we think of gratitude, I hope you'll join with me in realizing that this is it's something that helps us live a faith-filled life, not merely just looking for optimism, not just looking for good things, but recognizing that for me to approach life the best way possible, gratitude should really be what fuels me and guides me. Think of gratitude this way. Think of it as a choice and not a feeling. It's a lot easier to be grateful when we have feelings. You know, you get a doctor treats you really well and you're grateful. You get a bonus at work and all of a sudden work takes on a brand new dynamic. It's easy. I mean, it's easy to be fueled by our feelings, but remember, faith doesn't do that. We do have feelings. We're emotional creatures. But this idea of gratitude, it's a deliberate decision, a choice that we make. It's something that's available to every one of us. It's not just for those that have more of a sunny disposition. And it's something specifically for those of us that know Jesus. It is something that we should regularly just camp out on. I'm going to read you a couple of passages here. And again, if you're not yet a follower of Jesus, I hope you'll still hear me and understand what's being said here. But for those of us that do know Christ, think about this. He goes, "So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught," and listen to this, "and overflowing with thankfulness." I am convinced in my life that if God never answered another prayer, if he never did another specific thing for me that I could tangibly see, I could spend a lifetime in gratitude for all he's done. That he would forgive me of my sin. And no excuses. I was and I still struggle with sin. He adopted me into his family. All of us that have accepted Jesus, we now have him as our big brother. We now have God as our Father. We have God's Holy Spirit to strengthen and empower us to live the new life we've been given. We have his presence. We are deeply loved by him. You know, if we lose sight of those things, gratitude will fall away. We'll become people that are more demanding or have a sense of entitlement. Gratitude protects us from that. And again, I don't want to get into a lot of that. I just want to say that as followers of Jesus, for all God has already done, gratitude is the only reasonable, the only faithful response. Colossians 3 goes on to say, "And let the message of Christ in all of its richness, so everything we know about Jesus, who he is, why he came, what he's done, what he offers us, let the message of Christ in all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom he gives. Sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God," listen to this, "with thankful hearts." Worship really should be fueled by thanks and gratitude. "And whatever you do or say, do it all as a representative of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." Individually and collectively, we should be known as people that are fueled by gratitude and thanks to God. And it's the motivation. It should motivate all that we do internally and externally. It should be what drives us to be able to do problem solving when problems arise, and they will. Gratitude is just it's an essential. And God designed, listen to this, God designed us to thrive when we choose to adopt an attitude of gratitude. And by the way, let me point out something here. Becky has been going to town on her artwork, and she has adjusted. This guy last week didn't have a mullet, didn't have a mustache, but he still does have the binoculars. And this idea, and we're going to be looking at this, is God wants you and I to be on the lookout for things to be grateful and thankful for. He wants us to be very specific about that. He doesn't want us to just kind of fall into it or accidentally. He really wants us to be looking. Philippians 4 says this, "And now, dear brothers and sisters, one final thing. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right and pure and lovely and admirable." Fix your thoughts means that I need to set my gaze on those things that I know are true and good and right and real, things that to be grateful and thankful for. I need to be on the hunt for those things. It goes on to say, think about things that are excellent, worthy of praise. Keep putting into practice all you've learned and received from me, everything you heard from me and saw me doing. Then the God of peace will be with you. And I want you to think about this. The God of peace will be with you. What does that mean? Well, part of it, what it means is that when I am pursuing God with this thankful heart of gratitude, there are some things that go along with that that are, we'll call them side effects of that. And I want to review some of these I used last, are new, but I've collected all kind of data over the last several weeks from a variety of sources, Psychology Today, Harvard, the Wharton School. I've looked at things from USC, a variety of institutes, and there's just an overwhelming amount of data that shows the positive impact of being grateful. One study is a big study, and they had two groups of people, and they had a half of the group. They said, look, we want you to keep a gratitude journal. We want you just for the next several weeks, we want you to write down things you're grateful for. The other group, they said, we want you to keep a journal of things that annoy you or ways that you think you're better off than others. They did the study, and when it was over, it was an overwhelming response in differences in the two groups. The group that kept the gratitude journal, they had fewer doctor visits, they had less physical pain, they slept better, there was less insomnia. They were motivated more to exercise and to eat more healthy. It was a variety of things that were really, really kind of surprising. National Institute of Health did research on this. They actually looked at the brains of people when they were practicing gratitude or when they weren't. And they found that there was a tremendous amount of increased blood flow to certain parts of the brain when people practiced gratitude. Not when they felt it, but when they practiced it. And this was an area of the brain that regulates metabolism and handling stress. Other studies, physiological studies, have seen that gratitude practiced lowers blood pressure. There's less inflammation throughout the body. And there's a higher levels of chemicals like dopamine, serotonin, and oxytocin. We'll look at those in a few minutes. They found that gratitude, what it did, it helped create healthy and different neuro pathways in the brain, and it came across with these physical and then, as we'll see in a little bit, some sociological benefits. And gratitude, it's just a phenomenal thing when you experience it. But there's more. It's, you know, we could stop at this and say, you know, there's a personal benefit for you if you practice gratitude. And that's really true, but there is much more to it. And God had a much bigger purpose in calling us to be thankful, people that are grateful. Gratitude changes the atmosphere wherever it's practiced. And you and I get to be people that can be impact players in this. So in Becky's drawing, I want you to see we've got a thermostat and a thermometer. There's a huge difference in the two. A thermometer, all it does is just measures the temperature around it. You know, if I'm in a room that's 70 degrees, that's exactly what the thermometer's going to show. If I'm in a room that's 50 degrees, a room 100 degrees, the thermometer only registers what's going on around it. Thermostat is different. The thermostat regulates the temperature around it. It controls things so that it can bring it to whatever it's set at. In this case, 72 degrees, which I think is a little bit warm, but that's another story. The difference between a thermometer and a thermostat is really the difference between people that are positive influences and people that are not. And make no mistake about it, you and I, in our sphere of influence, we do have influence. We are impact players, either positively or negatively. Right now in our culture, there's kind of a bent toward negativity, you know, animosity toward groups. I'm missing this, I'm losing that. We have this kind of sense that, and you see it, you get around people and you'll see they're reflecting whatever's going on around. But thermostats are difference makers. And when the thermostat is calibrated correctly, it can be a very, very positive difference maker. I want us to look at some of these areas that you and I can operate as thermostats under God's control. This is how you and I can be impact players at home or in our work or school, in the social networks we're in our neighborhood, throughout the community. And beyond that, in just the ways that we interact with people worldwide through social media and other vehicles. And I want you to look at some compelling evidence. And I'm drawing this from a variety of sources too. And I'm gonna use a quote from Cicero, who was a Roman statesman and philosopher. He said this, he said, "Gratitude is the mother of all virtues." And I would say that's true. I would also say that one of the biggest things about gratitude is that it really does foster humility. And we'll see that when you and I express gratitude to others, there's a sense of humility there that goes a long way in building relationships. We've looked at a variety of things from the physiological level that impacts us individually, but there are also some ways that, and some significant ways that you and I, as we practice gratitude, has an impact relationally around us. There was a business book called The Power of Thanks. And in it, it talks about some of these chemical components that we've talked about before, for instance, like dopamine and serotonin, and how dopamine is considered a reward neurotransmitter. And when people get that, they just feel good. Serotonin is a mood booster. In fact, it's an antidepressant. It's a natural antidepressant. Some people that are dealing with depression will take drugs that impact their serotonin levels. Dopamine can help build camaraderie with others because we have a shared positive experience with each other. Serotonin levels, when they increase, it boosts willpower and motivation. In USC, they did a study and they looked at the power of gratitude to affect oxytocin levels. And oxytocin has been known to be a chemical that helps support social bonding. You can see that whether it's in a family or work, school, or other areas. Gratitude, when we live it out, and we live it out socially, and we express it socially, it can help us reduce tension. It can also give us the capacity to approach it without it being so charged. And when there's a regular pattern of gratitude, it builds up credits so that when we do have to deal with difficult circumstances or where there has to be confrontation, there is a storehouse of something to draw from that's not all negative. One of the rules that, and we talked to this about parents and others, is that in your marriage or your home, practice the 90-10 rule. And that means that 90% of your communication, let it be encouraging and positive, and 10% correction. Parents, this is one of those things, it is so easy to forget. If we're not careful, we have our spy glasses out to catch, and we're always seeing what's wrong. Well, if we can focus our attention on the 90-10 rule, 90% encouragement, seeing what's good, and 10% correction, when the correction comes, it's in an environment that doesn't seem charged. The Wharton Healthcare Quarterly reaffirms so much of this, and they're talking about just how there is no question that gratitude has a dramatic impact individually, but also corporately. They reported a study that was done, I mentioned this last week, about a group of fundraisers that were part of a staff at the school. And they divided the fundraising group into two groups. One group got the regular pep talk they got before every time they were doing their fundraising calls. The other group, group two, they were given really strong encouragement. The manager expressed gratitude and appreciation for them and what they had done in the past, what they were doing now, and the fact that they were there, and just really believing in them. When it was done, when both groups did their normal calling, group two, the ones that received encouragement through expression of gratitude and thanksgiving, had made 50% more calls. Now, I don't know how much they raised, but they were more motivated because they felt connected to each other. They felt appreciated. And it had been deliberately passed on to them. Forbes magazine, you know, Forbes does its regular 100 best places to work. And they've done some research, and they said 83% of the organizations they surveyed suffer from, they don't have a healthy recognition and expression of gratitude to their employees. 83% of the organizations did not have kind of a healthy way of recognizing and expressing gratitude. And of those who did have recognition programs, 87% of them were based on tenure, not performance. So what does that tell us? And you can see this in families and businesses. It's where there's a lack of appreciation, gratitude, and regular expressing thanks, morale's going to be gone. People will come and go quickly because they don't feel connected or they don't feel appreciated. And so there's something about this that you and I need to tap into, that this expressing gratitude and being on the lookout for it, and when we do see it, doing something with it. I'll show you that in a minute. But I had one more study I found, and I thought this was fascinating, especially given the time we're living in right now. This is from the International Journal of Workplace Health Management. Never heard of them before, but I'm very interested. They did a study, and it was called Virtues, Work Satisfactions, and Psychological Well-Being Among Nurses. Think about it. Those are our frontline people right now in dealing with our pandemic. The study showed that gratitude was found to be a consistent predictor of several outcomes. Gratitude expressed within these teams of nurses was a strong predictor of these things. One, less exhaustion and less cynicism. Another, more proactive behaviors rather than reactive or protective, more proactive. Higher rating of the health and safety climate in that organization. Higher job satisfaction. Fewer absences due to illness. These are direct correlations to what we've seen, that the way God designed us to be guided as we live with gratitude, and what the impact is on us mentally, physically, and sociologically. I really am impressed with this, and it's a reminder for us as a church, us as groups, us as families, that we need to really look at this thing and decide that we're gonna take this gratitude thing, this being thankful, seriously, recognizing that God has told us to and that we really need it. I borrowed these next two statements from a poster from Homeland Security. It was given out trying to help all of us recognize that we're the eyes and ears of what's going on around us. And if there's something that looks like it's concerning, related to maybe terrorist activity or something, to be careful. So it's when you see something, say something. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to walk through this for a minute. And I'd like for all of us, if you're watching this by yourself or with some others, I'd like you to adopt this for the next several weeks. When you see something, and listen to this, Colossians 4:2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Our buddy right here is alert. He's got his binoculars out and he is searching. You know, binoculars are different than a microscope or a magnifying glass. You know, our tendency in relationships is to be hunting for the negative, to see the negative, and then we get down and look at it really, really deep, and then we find out more. Relationships don't thrive in that. Organizations don't. Again, remember, we said this idea of being grateful is not to ignore problems. It's just to approach them with a positive attitude. So I need to, you know, it says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Thanksgiving should be what, that should be our go-to. So be on the lookout. Hunt, search, discover, open your eyes to things to be grateful for and thankful for, things that God has done for you or protected you from. And in this case, what have people around me done? How have they been in my life? What should I be grateful for and thankful for these people around me? And to look, and there's plenty of things if we'll only look. And when we do see it, you know, when you see something, say something. Don't hide it. Don't just hold on to it. You know, sometimes I think we're afraid to show gratitude because, and I've seen this before, I've seen it in marriage. Well, I don't want to express gratitude or thanks because that might keep them from being motivated to keep on the right track. It might cause them to kind of stop moving forward. You know, it's, again, if you look at the data and the research, gratitude inspires. Gratitude strengthens. And again, it takes some humility to be grateful and thankful, especially when we're wishing others did it for us. Look, take the initiative. Don't wait for someone to be grateful to you or thankful to you. You take the initiative. And what will happen is you, over time, will be setting a pace and a tone in your circles of influence. Hebrews 10 says this, let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and good works. And we motivate each other by being grateful and thankful and encouraging. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. You and I have been commanded to encourage and strengthen and to support each other. And one of the great ways we do that is expressing gratitude and thanks whenever we possibly can. 1 Thessalonians 5:11, so speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope. So you'll all be together in this. No one left out. No one left behind. I know you're already doing this. Just keep on doing it. Never lose our zeal in this. Encouraging others is something that you and I have the capacity to do. And we do that by expressing thanks and gratitude. So I want to give you some practical handles. And let me tell you that the take-home sheet is really going to help you with this. And I urge you, whatever you do, get the take-home sheet. You can get it from our website or from the app and do something about that this week. I'm going to ask you to write down the names of 5 or 10 people. And here's some ways you can express. This is how you know when you see something, say something. One is, and I'm not sure how this guy got here. He looks a lot like Joe Exotic, doesn't he? But face-to-face, if you're with someone, go up to them and just say, you know, I want to really thank you for this. I saw you do this and I really appreciate it. Face-to-face is a huge thing. Face-to-face, you can also call people. You know, I realize this is an old school phone, but you can actually call people and say it live to them, what you're thankful for, grateful for. You've caught them in a moment of doing something well. So you express that appreciation. You can text them or you can email them. You can direct message people. There's so many ways. A personal letter, you know, snail mail, people still, when they get a letter in the mail, handwritten mail letter, it means the world to them. You and I could do that. And back here too, sometimes you'll hear me talk about the negatives of social media. And there are ways, it's merely a tool. It's not positive or negative. It's just how it's used. But you know, you can use direct messaging, you can do posts, and to post something positive about someone, say, you know, the other day, I had a friend that did this for me, and I'm just so grateful to him. Maybe even put their name in there We call this good gossip. Bad gossip is when you say negative things about other people behind their back. Good gossip is when you show gratitude or thanks to someone and you do it publicly. Can you imagine a workplace or a home where when someone's not around, people are talking well of them behind their back? How do you like it when you find that out? When someone comes up to you and says, you know, so-and-so was talking about you the other day, and they are really appreciative for what you did on that project or how you stepped up and helped out when they were in a crunch. You know, this potential you and I have to experience the benefits of gratitude in our personal life, but way beyond that into all the relationships we have. It is in our power. It's in our control. I hope that you'll join me this week. 5 to 10 people, and then you list their names. Look for ways that you can express genuine gratitude and thanks to them, and then find a way to do it. And, you know, whatever the vehicle you have. And I would encourage you, start with face-to-face if that's possible, and then move out. My good friend, Dietmar Krein, is going to now pray for us. And let's really make this our pattern, especially heading into Thanksgiving. Let's really make this a Thanksgiving to remember. Dietmar?
Hello, New Hope family. In Thessalonians, Paul tells us to rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. Would you bow with me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we have so much to be thankful for. Thank you that you are on your throne and that you allow us to approach you boldly through your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you for your word, for our church, and the ability to worship you freely. We are thankful that regardless of the circumstances we face, you are in control. I pray that as we enter this week where we will celebrate Thanksgiving, that you help us to slow down and to focus on you and reflect on all the wonderful things that you have blessed us with. May our gratitude overflow our hearts and be given unto you. Help us to honor you this week in whatever we say and do. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Happy Thanksgiving, everyone.